It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Monday, March 16th. I'm Patricia Naft. Last month, the Board of Trustees for the Town of Cedar Edge was approached by someone looking to start a marijuana manufacturing facility. For the latest on that, here's KVNF's Jake Ryan.
They currently have a ban on pretty much everything associated with industrial marijuana, but the board thought it would be a good idea to float it past the public. Cedar Edge Chief of Police Daniel Sanders was one of the first speakers.
Now, what I see as a law enforcement officer is 300 to 500 pounds of marijuana per month, raw marijuana, coming into our town. Now, it's going to be controlled, and it would be allowed in a facility that's not advertising we have marijuana. We all know in law enforcement that doesn't matter. The black market will be there. People will look for that score, and that is a potential target.
Another officer was there that night, Delta County Sheriff Fred McKee.
I am Sheriff of Delta County. I'm also a resident of Cedar Ridge.
McKee is one of the Colorado sheriffs currently suing the state over Amendment 64.
Controlled Substance Act, which was initiated in the U.S. House, passed through the U.S. Senate, and signed by a U.S. president, is the law of the land. Marijuana is illegal, and that's the bottom line. It's an illegal substance. In 2016, we're going to have a new president, regardless, Democrat or Republican, very possibly could put in place a attorney general that decides that they're going to strongly enforce the Controlled Substance Act in Colorado, and they rightfully could do so.
Several members of the public were also heard. Many who spoke were concerned with the dangers of edibles and the hazards it could pose to children. Michael Meskel runs a trailer park right next to the proposed site. He says he's worried it would damage the property values and the reputation of the park. He also addressed the board about his fears of the potency of edibles.
And I want you to examine your own conscience. What would you do if someday somebody, maybe a child, is killed or maimed for life because they innocently consumed an edible? It happens all the time.
The Board of Trustees listened to all 28 people who spoke. No one spoke in favor. There were 8 written comments that were submitted earlier in favor of the facility. This was just a public comment period, and the board will vote on the issue next Thursday. But if the night was an indicator of how the board will vote, the ban on marijuana operations will likely stand. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Colorado food laws are on the books in almost every state. These statutes allow people to make food products in their home kitchens and sell their goods directly to consumers. In Colorado, 2 bills would expand the state's 3-year-old Cottage Food Act. KVNF's Laura Pomisano reports.
So I'm going to add wood now so that we keep building heat into the mass.
Monica Wietanen is adding wood to her outdoor brick oven. She uses it to bake artisanal breads that she makes in her home kitchen. Wietanen has been baking for over 50 years. Now she runs Small Potatoes Bakery out of her home in Colorado's Delta County. She opened for business 3 years ago after the state passed the Cottage Foods Act. It allows people like Wietanen to sell products made in an unlicensed home kitchen directly to consumers.
So it allows people, as it has allowed me, to start with almost nothing, just a safe food handling class, and make a little money.
Wietanen thinks the cottage food law is good for Colorado's economy. Because of it, she's able to pay someone to help her bake, and she tries to locally source her ingredients, which means more money spent in-state. Under the state's cottage food law, people can make and sell items like jams, spices, candies, and certain baked goods. All of these products are considered to be potentially non-hazardous and don't require refrigeration. A bill being considered by the state legislature would add pickled vegetables, tortillas, fruit empanadas, and flour to the list of permitted goods. Democratic Representative Millie Hamner is one of the measure's sponsors.
So because we're expanding into the pickled products, we're running into some concerns about making sure that whatever is produced meets health standards.
The bill would require people who produce pickled products to provide documentation to local health agencies that details what's in the item, how it's prepared, and display a sign that says it was made in a home kitchen. There's also a separate bill making its way through the Capitol that would increase the amount of money a person can earn under the cottage food law. It would raise the cap from $5,000 to $10,000 per product. Back at her farm, Wietanen talks about the hearing she attended in Denver, where she told lawmakers that the cottage food law helped her start her own bakery, and she encouraged them to support the expansion bill.
A number of them asked me if I could send them some.
And if you take online orders, right?
One of them did ask that, yeah.
Wheatonen told the State House committee that she doesn't take online orders, but she would reserve them some bread if they wanted to pick it up at her house outside of Paonia. For KVNF, I'm Laura Palmisano.
Governor John Hickenlooper has expressed lukewarm support for the state investing in technology this legislative session to forecast wildfires and floods. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
House Bill 1129 would require the state to contract for a flood and wildfire prediction system. Supporters say it could save lives, homes, and improve response times. Here's Democratic sponsor, Representative Tracy Craftharp.
This technology is a good return on investment.
But Governor John Hickenlooper says he's not so sure.
The ability to predict weather conditions and the types of information you need to predict fires accurately enough to be a really useful is very difficult.
The measure would cost about $4 million plus ongoing maintenance and expenses. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
And finally, the amount of testing in Colorado schools has been a big issue lately. Schools and parents are trying to opt out of what they see as excessive testing. The state of Colorado has asked for its own exception. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
The Colorado Board of Education has agreed to ask the federal government again for an exemption from No Child Left Behind. This is Dana Smith, the communications director for the Colorado Department of Education.
And this waiver allows Colorado to have a single accountability system for its schools. With our waiver, we're able to use our own Colorado-developed system for accountability for our schools. And that replaces the federal accountability system that was set up under No Child Left Behind.
Colorado has had this waiver before. Without it, the schools here would have state and national testing, which means more testing dates, different reporting windows, different standards, and multiple outcomes for these same students.
Under the No Child Left Behind system, a school was either passing or failing, and there was no subtlety in terms of different groups that might be succeeding or just different portions of their work that were succeeding and portions that were not. And
Colorado, though, is able to be exempt by showing their testing fits certain requirements. Rigorous standards, holding schools accountable, and educator evaluations are all required.
So unless your state waiver can demonstrate that you are doing those things, your waiver will not be approved.
The last waiver the state applied for came through, but this year there's been a small change to Colorado's testing.
In February, the Board of Education voted to not hold school districts accountable for low participation on the state tests due to parent refusals.
The pushback against standardized testing has led many parents opting out their children. Now in Colorado, schools won't be punished for that. Smith doesn't know if this will affect the waiver application. The current waiver expires this school year. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Stay tuned for Go Betty and the Monday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.